My message this morning is entitled, Be Like Thomas. So the last time that we read about Thomas, I said, it is time to stop calling Thomas doubting. If you ask me, Thomas is one of the most faithful characters in the Bible, and we have a lot to learn from him. I went on to recall today's scripture. Jesus had died. He had been resurrected and had appeared to all of the disciples except Thomas. And when they tell him that Jesus is no longer dead, but rather he is out and about walking around, Thomas does what any reasonable person would do when they are told that the dead have taken to walking about. He doubts it. Not in the negative, defeatist way. Not in a worrisome way. Not even in a faithless way. But rather, he doubts it in a rational way. I doubt it. The dead just don't start walking about. Whatever it was you saw, it is highly unlikely that it had been dead, and equally unlikely that it was Jesus. That's just sound reasoning. And he goes on to say, you know what? Here's how you prove it to me. I need to touch the wounds. Good old inquisitive Thomas. Always asking the most rational questions. How will we follow? How will we know it's you? Ultimately, they're questions of how can we be sure of growing our faith deeper and in all of the right places. Jesus, quite naturally, is insists, Thomas, how dare you question me? Actually, good question, Thomas. Good question. The institutionalized church doesn't like to talk about it, but one of the most damaging things it has done over the years is to teach us that asking questions is bad, or at least asking investigative questions is bad. Feel free to ask the minister what a particular Bible story means, but it's practically blasphemy to ask why it couldn't mean something else. Church has a long history of telling us not to ask too many questions. We are to trust in the traditional translations. We are to learn and repeat the confessions even when we don't agree with what they're saying. Doing otherwise is dangerous. Doing otherwise shows a lack of faith. As a matter of fact, I now try to minimize my use of the word faith. Because colloquially, it has become the near equivalent of blind belief. And blind belief, that's just churchy language for I want to believe whatever I want to believe. Me? I've got no use for that. That kind of thinking, or should I say lack of thinking, leads to gullibility and a spiritually shallow life. It's got nothing substantial to stand on, and it falls down time and time again when it's put up to the challenges of life and what spirituality looks like during the tough times. It cannot sustain you, and it certainly cannot grow you spiritually. It just leaves you stuck in the quagmire that someone else created to control you and your perspectives. Or St. Thomas Aquinas said, clearly, the person who accepts the church as an infallible guide will believe whatever the church teaches. Personally, I prefer the old Chinese proverb that says, he who asks a question is a fool for 5 minutes. He who does not ask the question is a fool forever. We should want to ask questions, to grow in our faith. To me, We should be innovative in our thinking rather than traditional in it. That's not to say that we should ignore traditional thinking. Frequently, it's an exceptional place to start, but we should not get stuck in a space and in a place that used antiquated thinking, antiquated information, and antiquated tools to arrive at its conclusions. To grow, we must be innovative. To be innovative, we must ask questions. That's what helps us develop in and advance our spirituality. It's interesting to consider that the one group which probably shares the willingness to question everything that the world's leading innovators have is children. Both of them learn through asking questions. And the truth is, it is the simplest and most effective way of learning. Author Warren Berger, in his book, A More Beautiful Question, says that children from the ages of 2 to 5 ask roughly 40,000 questions. I think most of us would agree that's probably a very low estimate. And he goes on to say that as we go through schooling and into adulthood, the number of questions we ask drops significantly. It would seem that as we get older, we somehow forget this oh-so-important lesson of asking questions. Sometimes, sadly, it's even taught out of us. From standardized school curriculum to the blind faith of institutionalized churches, we are typically encouraged to memorize and regurgitate someone else's knowledge rather than developing our own. We learn answers rather than how to ask good questions. You know, interestingly, nowadays, it's really easy to find answers. Nowadays, answers are a dime a dozen. With the use of laptops and smartphones, we can find the answer to almost every question, even those with which we have little to no knowledge about on the subject. It makes critical thinking and the ability to pose meaningful questions more important than ever before. Knowing how to ask the right questions is more important than knowing the answers. It gives us the ability to form our own beliefs and opinions and even problem-solving skills instead of unthinkingly inheriting them from others. Here's the thing. Not asking good or even asking enough questions has a direct impact on the quality of choices that you make. And not making good choices in our spiritual lives is not just unfortunate. It can impact the health with which we travel through this life. Learning and practicing the art of asking questions helps us gain insight and develop more innovative solutions and arrive at better decision-making. Spirituality. Spirituality attempts to help us understand who we are and what we are to be within this grand experiment that we call life. It attempts to lead us into being our best selves, to guide us in making the most positive impact we can in every moment of our lives, to play the best role we can play in making others' lives better and making creation better, to recognize our universal connectedness and to capture glimpses of this thing that we call God. I don't know about you, while that might sound kind of beautiful, you stop to think about it for a moment, it can be pretty overwhelming. I mean, that is a massive undertaking. There is no way I can do that with what I know right now. Which is why asking questions is so important. The brilliant thinkers of the world will tell you that much more frequently than starting with known answers, it is asking the right questions, frequently the most simple questions, that almost always starts the process which leads to great breakthroughs. Part of the problem is simply that we live in a society that highly values certainty. At various parts in our life, lots of us are encouraged not only to declare with complete certainty our life's purpose, but to then create a plan for the coming years with goals and measurable benchmarks. When we find ourselves at points of transition in our lives, we are frequently asked, what's next? And we are not only expected to provide a clear answer, but we frequently expect to be able to provide a clear answer. The thing is, if we really want breakthroughs in our lives, professional or spiritual, we must embrace some uncertainty for creative answers to emerge. I mean, isn't your life among the most creative processes that you have ever experienced? What if discovering and living out your purpose is less about defining it, more about letting it slowly gestate until it is ready to emerge? Seems to me that most creative processes actually work that way. We're asked to create the space, the container, and allow the mystery of the muse to work its magic. One of my favorite modern scientists is a theoretical physicist who's also the co-founder of string theory. His name is Michio Kaku. He says, I have concluded that we are in a world made by rules created by an intelligence. To me, it is clear that we exist in a plan which is governed by rules that were created, shaped by a universal intelligence and not by chance. He also says that in his own point of view, you can neither prove nor disprove the existence of that God. It's why I consider myself an agnostic Christian. It's also why I assert that when it comes to spirituality, expecting to have all the answers rather than learning to constantly ask and live in the questions is far worse than just folly. It's the height of egoism and self-importance. But one of the challenges of the modern church is the reality that the roots of most religions are actually in providing answers. For example, we have creation stories because people in that pre-scientific age wanted to know where we came from. So religion provided the answers. In our scientific age, we have to begin looking at the other truths that these sacred texts provide and be willing to ask questions of and about them. Not only that, we must begin considering the importance of a paradigm shift away from answers rooted in the past and toward questions rooted in not only the present, but in the future. Being rooted in questions acknowledges our ultimate inability to prove God. It opens us to blooms of creative, spiritual insight and innovation. It frees us from the oppressive need to be right and opens us to the experience of just be. And not only that, But in knowing that we do not have all of the answers, it should also open us up to the possibility that others may have perspectives that could help us. Whether they come from different belief traditions or no belief tradition at all. It will open us up to dialogues we might have otherwise avoided. Dialogues that might grow us in ways we could have never imagined. It might even open us up to the reality that no one way of growing is the right way of growing. That we are all growing in the same garden, in the same soil, nourished by the same earth. That's why I never refer to Thomas as doubting Thomas. For me, he's inquisitive Thomas. A sure and constant reminder that I am not called to practice blind faith. A reminder that if I want to have a better spiritual life, I cannot remain just as I am and accept the answers that I am given. Thomas calls me to question, to investigate, to learn, and by doing so to change, to grow. So I invite you to be more like Thomas. I'll conclude with something Australian poet and novelist Rainer Maria Rilke once said. Be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart. And try to love the questions themselves. Do not now seek the answers that cannot be given you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then you will gradually, without noticing it, live along some distance day into that answer. That's to respond to the scripture for today or the message, share any thoughts or questions you might have with your spiritual community or those who would like to share. Please. He's bringing you the microphone right now.
One summer, our family was going down to the beach for our vacation to a new cottage built by Palmer's father for the whole family. And when we got there, we were looking out the window at the beautiful beach and sand and the waves. And I thought it was a good time to say something about creation. And so I told our 3-year-old son, who was with me, I said, look at all that God has given us. The sand, the ocean, the waves, the sun, everything. And he said, but I thought Granddaddy.
That's a great story. Thanks.
I'm Joyce. I'm glad you brought up kids, because I was thinking about my grandkids, and they want to ask lots of questions, but they want the answer right now. And as a person with lots of teacher bones in my body, I try to lead them to an answer, and they get really frustrated as I ask questions of them to try to help them see what the answer is. And I'd really like to say now is there... a little bit older, I'd like to say to them, as you said, I'm not going to answer that, but you will know the answer. It will be revealed to you. Just keep asking it. I'll see if I can do that.
I love it. Thanks. Are there others?
Okay, well, let me make a couple comments.
Go right ahead.
One of them is that it seems like, I mean, you mentioned Google as, you know...
instant answers.
Instant answers, but it seems to be the kind of questions that you can answer with Google aren't the important ones.
Frequently, that is very true.
I mean, in other words, say, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? You're not going to do that. So that's one thought. Another one was that it seemed to me science at its heart, as I understand it, is questions. Say, well, why does this happen? Why did that happen? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people nowadays think that science is the answers.
Yeah.
And it's not the answers. It's the, and that's why science was so revolutionary when it, Galileo got in trouble with the church for asking questions and coming up with conclusions that they didn't like. Yeah. So
the way you see the, if you drive down country roads, you'll sometimes see on a sign, an open mind is the devil's playground. Comes from the same fear.